I'm Paul Vanvis, the host of Curiosity Never Retires, presented by OLLI at American University. OLLI is a national adult learning organization that provides retired seniors with a chance to study and teach subjects they've been interested in for years. OLLI at American University offers so many courses on so many topics that we are producing this podcast series to tell you about some of them and help you choose which ones you'd like to take. Today, we're talking with David Hensler about a new course he's teaching this spring on modernist architecture in the Washington, D.C. area. This is the third course David is teaching at OLLI. The first two were on modernism and Art Deco architecture in Washington. Welcome, David.
Thanks, Paul. Delighted to be here.
David, before we talk in more detail about your course, I think we need to define some terms for our listeners. What do you mean when you say modernist architecture?
Well, I'm talking about a specific type of modernist architecture called mid-century modern. It actually refers to the mid-century of the prior century. That's when it was very popular, especially in California and in warmer jurisdictions. And in part, it was better suited to those jurisdictions because glass was not well insulated at that time. So if you were in Washington, for example, in the past couple of weeks, and you had the type of glass that they had in the 30s and 40s, you'd be very cold in your house. Glass has immensely improved. Thermopane was a big advance, and it's only gotten better. So improvement of glass has caused, actually, mid-century modern architecture to become much more popular in temperate climates like Washington.
And it's sometimes referred to as MCM, right?
Yes.
It's shortened to MCM.
Yeah. Right.
I think even people who don't know much about modern architecture know names of people like Mies van der Rohe, Zhou-Ming Pei, Frank Lloyd Wright. Were there any Washington architects whose MCM work was particularly notable?
The answer is yes, but with respect to Mies van der Rohe, I.M. Pei, and Frank Lloyd Wright, they, of course, all have buildings in the Washington area, as does almost every well-known, nationally known or internationally known modernist architect. And we discussed that in the first modernist class that I taught. But I saw that we really needed to talk about MCM in Washington by Washington architects. Also, the first class was mainly about institutional buildings, like the East Wing of the National Gallery, or the Martin Luther King Library, which Mies van der Rohe designed. Whereas MCM generally refers to residential architecture.
What are some good examples of it in terms of the buildings themselves here in the D.C. area?
Well, there are some great buildings by Washington architects. One of the most daring and interesting MCM building in the country is by a Washington architect named Travis Price. He has hung what is essentially a four-story house on two steel poles. It's suspended above the ground, and it does sway in the wind, but it has two counterweights to reduce the sway. It's a remarkable feat of architecture, and he did it because he was building on a steeply inclined slope that fed into a tributary to Rock Creek, and it was thought to be unbuildable. And he proved the cynics wrong. He built it. But in Wesley Heights, there's a brand new MCM house within the past 2 years that was inspired by a Mies van der Rohe house built in 1930 in Brno, Czech Republic. So there's fascinating stuff being done. And in my course, you'll see a whole range of truly spectacular MCM examples in Washington by Washington area architects.
Is Falling Water, the Frank Lloyd Wright house,
yes,
an example of MCM?
It definitely is. And another characteristic of MCM is frequently the use of industrial materials like steel and reinforced concrete. Falling water would have been impossible without the use of those materials.
You've spoken about the importance of glass and concrete and steel. Can you talk a little bit about how and when that all came together and started it?
MCM, especially with respect to housing, began in Europe in the early 1930s. The U.S. was a bit behind. The first MCM house in Washington was in 1940, and that type of architecture remained popular into the 70s. Then it became less popular. You didn't see too many MCM houses from the 70s and 80s into the early part of this century. And now you're seeing a tremendous boom in MCM housing, which is another reason that I decided to teach the course, because in nearby neighborhoods, people are surrounded by MCM houses and they don't realize it, as they were surrounded by Art Deco buildings in Washington in the last class and didn't realize it. And when I taught the last class, people would come in after a class, they'd come into the next class and say, "Hey, you know, right around the corner from me, there's this building. Is this Art Deco?" And usually it was.
Of those famous architects, the local D.C. MCM architects, yeah, I understand some of them, or at least some famous MCM architects, will be coming and speaking in your class?
Yes, probably the leading MCM architect today, or certainly one of the small handful of leading MCM architects, is Robert Gurney. And he's going to be with us on April 6th. Another very prominent architect I've already mentioned is Travis Price of Suspended House fame, but he's got a lot of other fascinating architectural masterpieces. He's going to be here the week before. And then the second week of the class, we're going to be looking at a cluster of MCM houses on Chainbridge Road. And two of the newest were designed by Patrick Bryan Jones, and he's going to be with us then. One of the houses is particularly interesting. It was an MCM that was built in the mid-70s, but it was built for particular use. There was a swimming pool on the bottom because the wife and the couple that owned it needed to swim. But having a swimming pool inside the house created all kinds of humidity problems, and the house was deteriorating. Patrick Bryan Jones essentially converted that interesting house into an even more interesting MCM house, and he'll be talking about that.
That which brings me to my next question, which is, have there been a lot of changes within MCM itself over the years?
Sure. Almost every architect has his own version of MCM. In addition, as the materials change and improve, what you can do with the materials changes. In this house that I just mentioned, large portions of the house are cantilevered on steel beams. So that would have been feasible with wood. It would have been possible in the last century, but it's become much more common now, as steel, for example, improves.
Well, it sounds like a fascinating course, David. Congratulations. Good luck.
Thank you, Paul. I hope people find it fascinating. I think they will, because, for example, in a 1 mile radius of this building, if you ask people how many MCM houses are there, they would know of one or two. They might, just to be on the safe side, guess five or six. There are 20. And in Wesley Heights, a very traditional neighborhood, there are also 20. And as you go around the city, if you know what to look for and appreciate what the architects are doing, I think people will get a lot out of the course.
Sounds like it. And of those famous Washington MCM architects, are there any in that group that became well-known outside of D.C.?
Yes, two in particular. Charles Goodman was an extremely gifted and prolific architect. He worked in a number of different, you might say, architectural mediums, but predominantly MCM. In addition to designing over 700 houses in this area, he designed models for national homes, which built prefabricated homes, and up to 100,000 houses that were built from his models. But he designed the original terminal at Washington National. He designed the Alcoa Carefree House, built of aluminum. He designed aluminum houses in Southwest Washington. The other architect who became very widely known and had projects all over the country, including a huge project in St. Louis, was a woman named Clothiel Woodward Smith. And she was so successful that at one time, 30% of the architects licensed in Washington had at one time worked in her office. We're going to be visiting one of the houses that she designed that has been renovated and, in a sense, transformed by Robert Gurney. He'll be there in person. But there are a host of other Washington architects who are building primarily in the Mid-Atlantic region. So they're known outside Washington, but Goodman and Smith are known sort of countrywide, if not worldwide.
Curiosity Never Retires is produced by myself, David Flaxman, Andrew Hill, and Jesse Williams, and is presented by OLLI at American University. Our theme music is titled Education Music, and it's from Background Music for Video from Pixabay. You can find our entire spring catalog of courses online at olli-dc.org. That's olli-dc.org. Curiosity Never Retires. I'm Paul Vambus. Stay curious.